24 hours before recording this episode, the news broke to the world of the passing of Captain Sir Tom Moore, a World War II veteran who aimed to walk 100 laps of his garden to raise £1,000 for the NHS. In doing so, he received so much love and support from the whole country and raised more than £30 million in support of the NHS. Knighted by the Queen for his efforts, he showed us the true meaning of dedication and resilience. Everyone here at 25th Firswood Scouts like to offer their deepest condolences and offer their prayers to his family at this difficult time. Captain Sir Tom Moore, we salute you, sir. Thank you. And now, on with the show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Scouts Doing Scouty Stuff, podcast by Scouts, for Scouts and the wider Scouting community. Today we have a couple of very special guests. I say that as we have our other leader, Will. Hi, Will.
Hi, Steve.
You all right?
All good. And I'm looking forward to speaking to our other guest tonight.
Well mentioned. Our other guest is none other than the UK Chief Commissioner of Scouting, Mr. Tim Kidd. Welcome, Tim.
Hello, thank you very much. You're like a couple of pros, you know. My gosh, you should be on radio, at least.
Well, it's a tiny project that started, and we're doing all right with it, to be fair. We've got a few listeners. We've got a few international listeners as well so far, so we're doing quite well.
Right. Well, I'd be interested to hear what your scouts think about how well you're doing, because I'm sure they'll have a view.
I suppose if we start things off, Tim, if you could just briefly introduce yourself and sort of give a bit of background to your role, what you do, and sort of your background in scouting.
Yeah, by all means. So I'm Tim. I'm a volunteer, like the vast majority of people in scouting. I live in Oxfordshire. And I've been scouting since I was a Cub Scout, only because Beaver Scouts weren't invented then, because it was that long ago. So I've been a scout for 50 years, and we're coming up 51 years in a week's time. And I did my original scouting in a group in Oxford, in Old Marston. And then I've done a whole range of activities in scouts. Started with the scout section, so scout troop was my thing, and helping with the scouts was really important to me. I was a scout leader for a bit. Then I did some roles where I helped people, so an assistant district commissioner, assistant county commissioner for scouts. I became a county commissioner a long time ago. Then I've done a load of national stuff. So I've written a pile of scout books for the scout program and so on, which was way before probably anybody else on this call was born, let alone was a scout. I've been the UK Commissioner for Adult Support, which is looking at how we support our adults in scouting. I was Chief Commissioner for England for a while, and more recently I've been UK Chief Commissioner. And that means I've got responsibility, which is a bit exciting as a volunteer, for every one of our 475,000 young people and 160,000 adults. It's broadly my fault. Is what happens. So I have a team, like everybody in scouting, I work with a team. I've got a team of commissioners and people who help to set the direction and support scouting on the ground. So that's sort of very broadly what I'm up to.
Fantastic. So I suppose if we kick things off, does anybody have any immediate questions just off the bat for Tim?
How did you discover scouting?
Ah, well, there's a story. So how did I get into scouting? So I'm a twin. That's the first thing you need to know about me. So there are indeed two of me wandering around, which is pretty frightening. My twin and I were taken along to Cub Scouts by my mum. And for many, many years, I thought that she had got us into Scouts or to Cubs then because she thought it would be good for us, that would stretch us and help us to grow and be better people. I spoke to my mum years and years and years later when I was an adult, and it turns out we were both too noisy at home, so she took us along to Cubs to get us out of the way. So that's the reason. And so I found it by accident, not on purpose. And my twin is a very practical, adventurous person. He's a master craftsman, so he does very practical things. Whereas I don't. It will test you. Like, my favourite day at school was any day that included Latin, maths, physics, chemistry, and German. Those are my favourite days. Anyone else's favourite day like that? No. Oh, okay. Right. Fine. Right. But the worst days ever was any day that included PE or games, which I loathed and detested with a passion, mostly because I was useless at it. I was always the last person chosen to be in a team because I was always an impediment to them actually winning. So I was an unusual scout in that sense because I didn't join for adventure. I joined because I went along and I found that what was really nice was that the other people there helped me to do things I thought I couldn't do. So, you know, camping, lighting fires, cooking food, climbing mountains. I can genuinely say that I have stood on the top of mountains I would never have been to were it not for scouts. I never thought I could do those things. And the people in scouts helped me and didn't take the mickey. Whereas at school, because I was useless at things like sport, I was always, you know what it's like. You know, they don't want me because I'm useless, so they used to tell me that. Whereas at scouts, they helped me to learn those skills. So I've learned things I would never have learned otherwise. So that's how I got involved. Felix, how did you get involved?
I got involved because there was an assembly at school about scouting, and I felt like doing it because I wasn't doing much else.
How brilliant! Excellent. And who did that assembly? Who do you remember? Who did that?
Remember.
Okay. How long ago was that?
A year ago, maybe.
Oh, so not too long ago, just before we went into lockdown, then.
Maybe. Like
a little bit longer.
Maybe.
Yeah, a little bit longer, maybe. Yeah, great. Well, that's really good. People going out and telling folk what scouting is like is really important, and going to schools and assemblies and stuff is really, really important. That's brilliant. Well, I'm glad you're involved, Felix. I hope you're enjoying it.
Okay, so I'll open that back up. Does anybody have any questions for Tim? Anything they'd like to know? Finn, have you got a question for Tim?
Why do you remind me of the man of grand designs?
Well, I can't tell you why I remind you of the man of grand design, because you'll have to. You mean the guy that actually presents it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm terribly impressed with that. He's quite good, isn't he? Actually, I'm afraid I don't have a house. You can see the colour of my walls here. I have lime green in my little office. I have Bingo number 2 in my bedroom. I have orange tropics number 1 in the hallway and stairs, and I've got zingy yellow in the bathroom and my spare bedroom, and then some bright blue carpets to match. Oh, and for my curtains in my hallway, I've got Citrus Le Pig, which is some striped curtains with pigs and sheep on them. And when I bought them many years ago, and my mother was with me, she said, "Well, if that's what you really want," and when I got home, I realised it said curtains for children's bedrooms. I hadn't realised that, but I do like them. So I'm not sure I'd quite fit in the grand design phase, really, would I? So I'm not sure I'd be quite grand enough. What do you think?
Oh, I like the sound of the curtains.
They're very good. So are you a grand designs person? Do you have a vision of a huge, great house that you'd build?
No.
No. Well, I can't tell you why I remind you of a person from grandsons. I'd like to think it's because I've got excellent taste, and that's it, but I suspect it's not. Now, brilliant. Thank you.
Okay, and I suppose, Tim, have you got any questions for the Scouts sort of more broadly, more generally? Anything you might be interested in understanding from our time doing this remotely, perhaps?
Yeah, that bit. I think it's really interesting. So, like everybody else, you know, we've all been sort of subjected to something that was a little bit different. What I've been really impressed with as I've gone around all over the UK doing these things. I've recorded about 150 videos for people to put into their events and things over the last few months. And I've visited way more than that, scout troops and group things and district things and so on, which I could never have done previously. So before we get into the real detail, I've got a few sort of starter questions. The question is, have any of you got something which you've done, which you would never have done were it not for the fact that we had this sort of lockdown? Is there anything that you've learned that's new that you're thinking, actually, that's something to keep doing? So, you know, so something new or something you've learned because of lockdown. So anybody got anything?
Well, I'll kick it off. I mean, obviously we're all used to doing things in sort of in person, face to face. getting dirty in the mud on camps and hikes and stuff like that. And we've had to learn, develop very quickly a new set of skills to be able to deliver scouting online and keep that that motto of be prepared and skills for life going during a tough phase during the pandemic. So me personally, I think it's probably the same for Will. We've learned very quickly and on the fly how to run a scout session without being in a scout hut. And
my sense is for lots of people is that it's taken a bit of getting used to. And for many people, it's like it's second nature to run a program, you know, when you get together and to have things at your fingertips to do. It's taken way more thinking to learn the things that you can then do in this new environment. So it's been a bit more taxing for leaders as they've had to work out different ways and all the tricks that they can then use. The tricks for face-to-face meetings we've known for donkey's years, right? Definitely. So it's felt a bit like that for you. Right. Okay. So for the scouts themselves then, what have you enjoyed about your scouting over the last year? 11 months coming up a year shortly. So what have you done? So I'm going to pick on people, actually. So I'm going to ask Emily, what have you enjoyed? Look at the way she's looking at me. God, if looks could kill, I'd be dead. So, Emily, what have you enjoyed?
I've enjoyed kind of some days there isn't actually any online lessons, and I just like being able to do none of the, just doing the work in my own time.
Right. So chance to do things that you've decided and in the way you want to do it that's different from staring at a screen. So that's what you've enjoyed, the difference, the change. Okay, great. Who am I going to go to next? Susanna?
I think the best thing is about the fact that everyone's in lockdown is that we can do the scouts, because I'm in it. I'm totally, like, how far away is Poland from? I live in a totally different country. We moved not long ago, last year even. So it's been a huge change, and the fact that I've got, like, scouts has really helped me through lockdown. And it's good that it's online, because I could still be here.
Right, so this is something you'd never be able to do otherwise, because people would be, as Stephen said earlier on, stamping through mud and all those sorts of things, and you wouldn't be able to join in with that. So that's a really interesting difference. And a touch, you're able to touch your friend's home through the screen, which is great. Okay, I love that. Alina, what about you? What's been good for you over lockdown?
I've enjoyed that even though lots of my lessons are live, I've had a lot more spare time, because I really like reading, and before I'd have to read really late, but now I can just read in between lessons and stuff.
Oh, I love that. I love reading, and when I was a youngster, your age and younger, I was always being told off because I would read through the night, and I would have a torch underneath my bed covers reading a book. And I used to get, do you do that?
Well, yes.
Oh, dear, so you're naughty as well. I'm very pleased that you're naughty. So what's been your favourite book? Or do you have a series of books you like? What's been your favourite?
Well, I'm currently reading the Northern Lights series.
All right,
I read it like a while ago, but now I'm reading it again. I kind of prefer it.
And are you seeing different things in it because you're reading it in a different situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's the big thing about reading, isn't it? You can invent the stuff in your head. You can expand the universe you're reading from the page into your imagination. And that's brilliant. Oh, wow, another book read. I'm glad to have met you. Felix, what's been good for you over lockdown?
What's been good for me is because we have online lessons, we have about an hour less work than we normally have.
A man who is inversely proportional to the amount of lesson times happy. That's really good. Like that. And what do you do in that extra hour to make the most of it?
Play video games.
Play video games, right. And how old are you, Felix?
10.
Right. So if this were to happen and you were 14, you would have said, well, I'll go to sleep. That's what you would have said if you were 14. So you can look forward to that when you get a bit older. Excellent. Finn, what's been good for you?
I was muted. I've definitely enjoyed reading books.
Excellent.
I've enjoyed playing Zooming and playing video games with friends.
Oh, so you do the simultaneously online with them, headset on, talking to them. Well, right.
Yes.
And what sort of books are your favourite books?
I like quite like mystery and adventure.
Oh, right. Okay. And which ones have you read? Can you name an author you like or a book you've read that's been good?
I like M.G. Leonard.
Right.
I like J.K. Rowling. I mean, that's right. She's got famous.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think
of
any others of them.
No, but you, the mystery... So do you also like the sort of magical world stuff? Because if you like, so you like a bit of that as well. Excellent.
I like Philip Pullman.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah, absolutely. There's some good stuff there, isn't there? Brilliant. So the only person we haven't heard on what's been good is Will, isn't it? Do you think we should ask Will?
I think we should.
I'd have quite a lot to talk about. So I only joined this group in January of 2020. So
gosh.
I had never actually been a scout leader within section of scouts. I had done one academic year as a cub leader in my final year of uni. And then upon getting a graduate job, moving to Manchester, I decided to get back into it. So I found basically the nearest group to me, reached out, went along for one night. The next day, found myself that evening doing a planning session for the term ahead. So it was all really, really quick, really fast paced. And then, of course, 2.5 months in, we're into lockdown, which I don't think anybody would have predicted at the start of the year. And we had to jump to doing it online. And our section leader had to step up and become GSL at that time. So then I was asked to be the new section leader and to take over sort of, program planning.
Yes, sure. Just make sure section. It's all put together.
So it's been a massive learning curve. The learning curve has been essentially vertical. Really, really fast paced. It's not just learning how to organize a section, plan what we're doing, deliver the program, keep everything up to date in terms of record keeping, but actually doing that in an entirely new format that nobody really has ever done before. I don't know of any scout group that's done it remotely. Possibly the stuff like Australian groups that were doing it sort of over the radio back in the day and stuff like that.
They were radio. There's quite a few of our British scouts overseas who do some of their stuff remotely.
Yeah, so
not so much their day-to-day meetings.
It's entirely new. So that's been fantastic because I think it's accelerated my learning as a leader to be a little bit sort of like self-focused there. I think it's accelerated my exposure to planning different activities and to being flexible. Every week we have to be really adaptable and be ready to do completely different things because we're doing things like, classic activities like cooking and crafts, but you're delivering it in an entirely different medium.
Yeah.
It's something that I've never done before. So it's been fantastic. It's been really challenging. I think outside of Scouts, something I've enjoyed as well is working remotely. So working from home, obviously no commute. So it does free you up a little bit. And hopefully something to change for the future. I think it will be a long lasting change.
Well, we sort of kind of hope it will be, but we should never underestimate the ability for people to go back doing silly things. How many of the scouts are interested in making sure that we combat global warming and that we use our lands and resources well and we stop damaging the environment? Are any of you interested in that sort of stuff? Oh, they don't care. So you don't care about the planet. That's fine then. Great. Excellent. We found the one troop doesn't care about the planet. The one thing that's interesting for me is that I used to do about 25,000 miles a year in my car for scouts to go and visit places and so on. I'm lucky if I haven't even done 2,000. It's a few hundred over the last year. And that's a really big difference. And what's interesting is that I've met more people but online, and I've saved energy and I've reduced the amount of waste I'm putting into the planet because I've been doing so fewer miles. So that's really interesting. If we could hold on to some of that for the future, we'd be doing all our, the future a good turn, I think, for the planet.
No, absolutely.
Excellent. So that was a little bit about the general stuff. Is there anything from Scouts for anybody that you've enjoyed over the last year? I take it Susanna's bit about being able to keep in touch is lovely. So that's really great. That's brilliant. Is there anything else that you've particularly, something you've done that you thought, I don't know, and it's turned out to be good fun or brilliant or unusual?
Enjoyed playing Among Us.
Say again, Finn.
I've enjoyed playing Among Us.
I didn't catch that. Playing what?
Among Us.
I have no idea what it sounds like, a disease.
I can't pronounce it.
What is it?
It's like a video game where you can play with multiple people. And you can have... The best game is with 10 people. And there's like these little characters. And there's up to 3 people that can pretend to be the good guys, but they're the bad guys and they just have to kill the rest.
Oh, okay. So it's a shoot 'em up game with people where you pretend to be nice, but you're really nasty. It's
like and the good people have to get out the bad ones to win.
Well, it sounds lovely, charming. Oh, that's great.
I think we've done some really good sessions. There's a few that stick out to me. I'm not sure if anybody's got any particular ones that we did. But, I mean, we've tried to keep it really broad, really varied. Yeah.
What was the first thing you did, the very first time you went online? Because it's like, oh, my gosh, what the heck do we do? What was the very first thing you did?
Oh, I mean, it took us a few weeks to get into it. I think the first week we did, we trialed basically doing it in patrols. And then we trialed doing it as one group. And I think we decided quite quickly that doing it as one group what was much better, particularly because of the attendance. You know, you've got kids who they might have things going on at home. They might not have the resources or so on. So the attendance naturally dropped. So I think, that we used to keep it very simple. We did sort of simple games. It was things like scavenger hunts.
Yep.
Cooking, again, was always a classic one. Things like making things. So we did a couple of things that would be like knots and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I think as we've gone on, because we've been doing this for a long, long time now, it's approaching sort of 10 months.
Yep.
I think we've got more confident and we've done sort of more complex things. So
I think people need to learn the etiquette, don't they, as well, about, you know, microphones, and you've got to get past the sort of silly phase of how can we mess things up. One thing I've heard, I don't know if any of, I'm checking the scouts, see, I don't know if any of you are doing this with your online lessons. I saw a tweet from a teacher the other day where she was saying that one of her class has taken the trick of changing their name to reconnecting ... so he doesn't get asked any questions because they think they're still coming back into the lesson, which I think is really clever. And it's something that, of course, young people will do. So, but you have to get past all that fun and game stuff, don't you, first, and sort of work out how to use it as a real tool of connecting with people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been really, really impressed with people's attitude and people's behaviour towards it. I think we've never really had any difficulty at all. We've just jumped straight into it. People don't interrupt each other. They don't speak over each other. And again, it's a little bit patronising, but I think people have been really, really good with it.
Yeah, that's great. And even Finny Boy, smiley face, or Finny Bo now, just to prove that he can change his name. Very good. Well done. Yeah, we've seen this, I mean, across the UK as a whole, people have done some astonishing things. There are still some people finding it really very difficult. You talked about having the resources. So if you're the scout leader and your job has gone completely, you know, wild because you're a nurse or whatever, you know, then I think that, you know, some people found it really hard. Also, if you're a leader and all the rest of your family, you've got a big family, say, and you haven't got enough computers to go around and you know, other people are using it for their schooling and so on, then you don't always get time to, you know, so there's all those sorts of things that get in the way. But we've seen it's over 50% of the groups within the first month started doing things. And we've provided more and more stuff centrally on the scouts.org.uk website that people can use, and some idea stuff, and there's some new videos gone up and so on. One of the things that I've been most heartened by is the way that people have joined in with some of our campaigns. And I don't know if you did, but the 3 for 3 was really great, where people were tweeting out on social media saying, here's how you can look after yourself, right? So keep your mental health good, so you're keeping yourself positive and doing some good things. And I've stolen some of those. So I randomly phone people up because we're all doing Zoom now, aren't we? We're all doing video stuff. So I use a good old-fashioned telephone and I phone up friends at random and have a chat. And that's been quite good. Well, I think it's funny. Whether they do or not, I don't know, but I find it quite amusing. So doing those sorts of things has been quite good. And then I've enjoyed also sending cards and that sort of thing to people just out of the blue. I received a postcard yesterday from a friend of mine who I normally see every week. but I haven't seen face-to-face for months and months. And he's quite a good photographer, and he'd got some photographs of his local village, and he's got them printed onto postcards. And him and his wife sent me a postcard with this lovely picture on it and a message on the back saying, yeah, it's really rubbish at the moment, but we'll all be back together soon, dot, dot, dot. It was really nice, really uplifting. So those sort of things have been really great. I wonder what you do, each of you, to make yourselves, keep yourself feeling good and uplifted and happy. Is there anything you particularly do that makes you feel happy? Apart from reading, because we've always established for Finny Boy now, or Finny Boll. Finny Boll. For Finny Boll.
Is that an L? No, I think it's a capital I.
Oh, Finny Boy. And Alina, we know that reading makes you feel good. Well, what so other
no,
thing?
I keep doing capitals.
See, Finn is now more worried about how he's going to spell his name. Oh, there we go, Finny Boy. So, anybody got anything, any good tricks they do? So, Susanna.
It's not really tricks, but recently I've just been, we've got 20 minutes break and or half an hour and you don't know what to do. So I've just started watching Avengers bloopers and interviews, and it's just funny. It always makes me laugh, especially with Chris Hemsworth and Chris Evans. You can always laugh.
So you do something that is just takes you out of the situation that you find amusing, and it gives you a bit of a boost. That's great. And that's really good. Because if we're not careful, everything, all this bad news from everywhere sort of hits us, and there's some good news and some good stuff as well. So that's a great one, Suzanne. That's a brilliant. I'll think about that. There's some funny things that I quite like. So just keep them ready to watch when you're feeling a bit down. Any other good ideas that people have got?
Well, I know that Will and myself, when we come on to the scout meetings, we have what's known as the silver lining. So week on week, we get them in, you know, and we ask them what's been the highlight of the week, what they enjoyed, you know, just getting them to talk about something that they've done over.
Yeah, getting other people's news, sort of a little spotlight into someone else's life about something that's good is heartening, isn't it? Yeah, that's neat. That's neat. Anything else? I'm going to pick on Felix. What have you done what do you do that makes you feel good?
Playing video games.
Playing video games is the thing. I don't play any games, so it's a world that is unknown to me. But if you enjoy it, that's great. Absolutely brilliant. Anybody else got something they do?
I like watching Doctor Who, if that
Oh, I love Doctor Who. And do you like the current Doctor Who?
Yeah, but I prefer the 11th Doctor. He is more funny.
Well, it's a Wow. Well, there we go. I just think that she's absolutely astonishing, the current one, and the stories are really interesting. But they've been good, haven't they? Have you watched on? Have you found on YouTube any of the original Doctor Who's?
I've watched some of them, and it's quite funny to see how it's changed.
Yes, because it wasn't at all political. Nowadays, it's got some really good social commentary in it and political commentary in it. And some quite hard-cutting stuff, right, in it. Whereas if you look back, so when did it start? It was about 1958, 1960, something like that, with the original ones. And it was, and the original TARDIS was in a junkyard, wasn't it? Have you watched the original, very, very original ones?
Yeah, I watched the first one.
And the sets look a little bit wobbly, don't they?
Yeah.
But that's great. And so that when that was rebooted, it was it took the world by storm. Absolutely took the world by storm. Another Russell T. Davis production, the guy who wrote the first of the new series. Brilliant. I like Doctor Who as well. You might have gathered. That's excellent. What else that makes you feel good? Apart from Finn eating. What are you eating, Finn? I'm hungry, so I want to know what you're eating.
Just a cracker.
A cracker. I'll tell you what I've got. I've got Leibniz dark chocolate biscuits. That's what I've got. I should be having my tea, really, but I'm going to pig out on dark chocolate biscuits. So what else? Anybody else got anything else they do that makes them feel good?
I light up candles.
Sorry, you?
I like candles.
Candles. I bought some smelly candles at Christmas. I thought I'd do that as well, so I quite like that. Yeah, it's good. Excellent. Jolly D. So it's good to know what makes you feel good. What else do we need to discuss then, Stephen or Will?
Well, there's one thing that we've not mentioned yet, and you've not mentioned it yourself, is your Officer of the Order of the British Empire. You're the first person I met that actually has one. So I'd like to hear a bit more detail about that, if we could.
Yes, I mean, I would show you it, but I haven't got it. I kept it in an envelope by the side of my desk for 4 years and then thought, I'll do something with this, really. And I've got my, you can see behind me, I've got my degree certificate. And I thought, the way to not lose these things, put it into a frame. So I took it to the framers in between lockdown 2 and lockdown 3, and there it remains. So we'll see. Some point it might come back. It was all a bit of a shock, to be honest, because these things I find quite difficult. But there's an honour called, the Order of the British Empire, and then I got what's called Officer of the Order of the British Empire, the OBE, which some people say stands for Other Bugger's Efforts. So you have to be careful how you look at these things. But it was for my work in scouting, and that was lovely of people to think of that and to do that. I got it presented by the Queen, so that was quite good, because she doesn't do many of those now, not so many. Other members of the royal family do it. And has anybody met the Queen before?
I think my granddad might have got some kind of award from
me. Oh, brilliant. Right, excellent. We'll have to find out what that is. That's a good research project to find out what that really was. Yeah, I've met her a few times through scout stuff, right? I mean, when I say meet her, she's walked past quite close. She said, oh, hello, and she walks past, and that's been broadly it. Let's not get too pally. She doesn't invite me around for tea or anything. So I went to where did I go? I went to Windsor Castle, and it was a small number of people. So it's about 20 of us, because when she does it, she has small numbers of people, you get sort of ushered in to an antechamber, and they tell you what you've got to do and what you must and mustn't do and how you address the Queen and all this sort of stuff. And then you wander in and she says, oh, hello, and asks a few questions, and we have a little chat, and then she pins it on. Well, she doesn't actually pin it on. Here's a, because it's like a little medal, right? They pin on you first a little clip, and then she hangs it on the clip. And you're told you do not shake Her Majesty's hand. You do not touch Her Majesty. I think if you probably tried to, you'd get sort of bowled down by the Secret Service before you could even get there, I suspect. You're allowed to take two people with you. I took one of my sisters. I got three sisters and a twin brother. My dad was alive then. So I took my dad and one of my sisters with me. And it was a bit of fun, actually. It's a bit nervy as you get closer to the thing, they give you all these instructions. You think, I must remember, I get in from the right, I go to the left, I mustn't do this, I must do that, I mustn't say this. So it's a little bit nervy. It's quite funny. And then we got a
lovely family day out.
It was a very fun day out, and it was lovely to do it with my dad. And we got a nice photograph at the end. So it was I don't know. It's very strange, because I'm not really a person for badges and awards and stuff. For me personally, it's not really something that I do, but it was lovely that some people thought about it and they put me forward. That was really nice. We've had loads more people in for MBEs, OBEs, and other Empire, British Empire medals and so on, for their work in scouting, which is great to be recognised. So yeah, it was interesting. It was a little bit of a surprise when the letter came through, shall we say. The letter arrives and I think, oh, it looks like it's an official letter. It's probably from the DVLA. Now, I haven't been speeding. It can't be that. So you go through all those sorts of questions. Then you find it's a letter to say, Her Royal Majesty instructs me to tell you. All right. Okay. It's very posh. And it's a good day out, as you say. It's a good day out. Yeah. So is there anything you particularly wanted to ask about it? Was that's
probably no, just more to hear about what it is. I mean, like I say, you're the first person I've ever sort of spoken to that's had some form of award presented by the Queen or a member of the royal family. I just think it's amazing the fact that it was related to scouting work as well.
Yeah. Very clearly it was for service to young people through scouting is the formal title. So that all gets read out in front of everybody else. So that's quite good fun to be for scouting to be recognised.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite good. So there we go. One of those days that you... as you do.
It's one event you'll never forget, though, I can imagine.
Yeah, and I was really pleased to do something with my dad, if the truth is told. I mean, I've, as I said, he's died now, a year and a half ago or so. But before he did, we managed to go to Windsor with him for my OBE, which was great. he came to Westminster Cathedral with me when we had the Scout and Guide service that we hold in February, which of course we haven't done last year, won't do this year, that we invite people who've got the Silver Wolf and the Scout Awards along. And he came to that, and that was lovely, so I could have a few photographs with him doing that, because he didn't, clearly, you know, he doesn't, all these things I have to go to as UK Chief Commissioner, you don't sort of drag your parents along normally. So he came to that, so it was lovely. And another sister came to that. And then he came to another event when we did the Queen Scout Award stuff at Windsor Castle for 1 year after he'd got his award, with another one of my sisters. So all my three sisters have come to one thing each with my dad that I've been at. So that's been quite good. So
amazing. Anyone else got anything?
So I suppose one thing that I'm interested in talking about is what you see as being the future of scouting, and particularly what changes there will be as a result of this, sort of like long-term legacy.
Yeah.
But also just more broadly, where is scouting going? What is the place for scouting in you know, 10, 20 years' time?
Yeah. Okay, so let me start by making a really, I suppose, a really simple statement that I do believe is absolutely true. Yeah, we're over 112 years old, or coming up, but 113 years old. But it's never been more important to have scouting in our communities than it is now. It's never been more important. So when BP started scouting, have you done your history, you lot of scouts? Have you done, oh, there's a bit of a fin scowling. Have you done your history about how scouting started and why? Have you done all that stuff? Everybody's hoping, don't ask me, aren't you? I can see it in your faces, don't ask me. So BP started it because he wanted to get together different sorts of young people. So he found some young people from very wealthy backgrounds and some young people from less wealthy backgrounds, got them all together for a camp and said, let's get on with it and see how you get on. And shock horror, everybody got on and had a really great time, right? And that was a really sort of start of scouting. He did that on Brownsea Island, his experimental camp in 1907 on Brownsea Island. And scouting hasn't changed from that in all its history. But what we have found is a renewed purpose in doing that, which we've been trying to do over the last sort of 3 years. And we've got another 3 years of this current strategy to go. We're going to 2025, which is saying we want membership of scouting to be as diverse as our communities are. And we're not yet. We're not as diverse as our communities. And we've got more to do to make that happen. And we're determined that will be the case. And I think if we all work together, we can do that, because we can all help each other out so that everybody can take part in this magical stuff called scouting. So I think that what I see as the future is that there's going to be even more of us doing more work with young people, having more fun and helping young people. We know from academic studies, University of Edinburgh did a study a few years back, which is a large study. So absolutely accurate, which shows that there's a 13% difference, 13 percentage point difference in the way that young people grow up if they've been either a scout or a guide. That's different from any other youth provision in the UK. That means that they'll be less likely to feel depressed, less likely to feel they can't do things, and more likely to succeed. So what we do and the way we do it has an absolutely magical quality to it. So we're really absolutely keen to make sure that we keep on doing it. So what I see is, if you look sort of forward, go 20 years or so, we'll look a bit different. I think there's more for us to do in how we support one another. There's more for us to do in, you know, things like our uniform and so on. There's more changes to make to that, to make it a bit more sort of fit in a bit more to today's society and so on. So things to do with that. There'll probably be, although there's nothing on the cards at the moment, but if you go forward 20 years or so, there might be some more changes in age ranges and stuff. And we announced before lockdown that we will be working on the 4 and 5 year olds with another section that to come, with a specific task to make sure that we help that to get into areas that don't have scouting so easily at the moment. So there's quite a lot of stuff that we're doing. So if you look at actually, scouts, you may not have noticed or cared, but we changed the scout insignia for the UK. We changed our branding. So the scout signal that sign that you see, which changed a few years ago now. And that was done because people who aren't in scouting, when they looked at the old branding, thought it was something to do with Christians in the Crusade and nothing to do with them. Right. because it's heraldic symbol in the way it was before, made it look that way. Whereas new branding, people say, oh, that could be me, who knows? So that's one of the reasons we changed it, to attract other people in, right? So that they wouldn't be put off. So it's been quite a long bit of work to do that. So I would see us always, one of the things that's true about scouting is it always changes. You know, so the badges you can get always change. But what doesn't change is that we've got a promise and a law that we're based on values, and that we work to help young people to be the best that they can be, right? None of that has ever changed. But the way we do it changes at times. So I think that's the big picture. What I hope will stay with us is that we won't feel the need to make everybody converge on cold buildings all the time to do things when we could do some stuff online. So let's not forget the benefits that online gives us in a whole range of things that we do. It's enabled us to fast track, like so many other things have. So we've got more training for adults that's online and more easily done, and there's more of that to come. There's quite an overhaul to come of making sure it's simpler for our adults to do things overall. And what we've also got, of course, is we did a load of stuff in producing new program material, changing how things were done, changing some of the rules so that camping at home on your organized sort of digital camps counts towards nights away badges and so on, all those sorts of things. And that flexibility is something that will stay. It'll manifest itself differently over time, but it will become more flexible for people. So I think there's a whole mixture of stuff that's quite exciting. One of the things that I say to everybody I see now is, don't mourn for the past. Don't hope that everything is the same as it was, because nothing ever is. You know, what we do next year is always different from what we did last year. There's always some differences and changes. And BP said we are a movement rather than an organization, because a movement moves with the times. So that was his view right back when he started scouting. And so I think we should look forward to the future with a sense of anticipation, of fun and excitement, of new things that we can do and new ways of doing things, rather than trying to anchor ourselves in the past. So that's I don't know if that's answered your question or not, but it's the sort of stuff that's going around my head at the moment.
No, that was good. And thank you for that. And I suppose, sort of like building on that, what do you see as being next for yourself within scouting? So obviously, we know that we've got a new chief commissioner.
Yeah. I finish in September. Yeah, so I've done 5 years in September. I didn't expect that as part of my time as UK chief commissioner, I would be sending an email around saying to people, you are not to meet face to face. That was a bit of an exciting evening. I don't know if any of you, I'm talking to the scouts as well, you know, when something's coming up that you didn't really want to do, but you can't stop it, like an exam, you know, you think, oh God, exam coming up. You know, that feeling in the pit of your stomach, you know, oh gosh. It was a bit like that when we were having a meeting and saying, oh, we're probably going to have to do something about this. And as we were talking, the Prime Minister came on saying, we will have to lock down. And we think, oh, flip, that's us now. So we had to make decisions. So we had to say, we're going to have to stop it. And all the way through my head is, well, do I have the authority to? We said, well, we don't really know, but let's just get on with it because it's the right thing to do. So that was very scary moment for me. But I've always kept with my local scouting. So I'm a trainer. So for Oxfordshire, I run training courses all online now, with more people turning up because we're online than when we were face-to-face. Hurrah. And I'm a training advisor. So I help people through their training and validate them. I'm also on the local appointments advisory committee. So I meet new people who want to be leaders. And right now we're doing that online as well. It's so much more convenient for people. They have their 20 minutes online and carry on with what they were doing, rather than having to get in the car, drive somewhere, have a meeting, get in the car and drive home. You know, so it's absolutely brilliant. So I shall continue doing those. I've never had a plan for scouting in my life. It just, things happen to me and that's fine. And I'll carry on doing my Oxfordshire stuff, my local stuff, because it's really important. And something else will pop up and that'll be fine. And it'll all be fine, because in scouting there's always work for idle hands. There's something always that pops up, so I don't have any issues with that at all. It'll just happen, you know. And there'll be something that needs doing, and I'll say, well, I can do it if you like, and you know, and off we'll go. But I think doing my training work locally, running courses and helping people through the validation, and also meeting new people who are new to it, is important stuff to do. So I'll carry on doing that, and we'll see what else pops up.
No, fantastic. And I really agree with that attitude. I think probably myself and Steve would both agree that you just can't predict what's going to happen. And I think you've just got to be adaptable and be flexible and always have sort of like a positive mindset towards it and just see where it takes you. So with that said, you know, a bit of a generic question, but what would your advice be to the scouts that we've got here now what would you tell them based on your experiences, based on what you've seen, you know, any words of wisdom?
Yeah, what I'll tell you is, and you're going to be really bored by this, and just to be clear, I am watching your faces, including Finn, who's looking at something else right now. So the things that you learn by being a scout, you will use in later life, and you might not realise you're learning them. So leadership, teamwork, adaptability, problem solving, all those things, how to get on with one another, the values that you learn. You know, when we talk about having integrity, dealing with other people with respect, taking care of yourselves and other people, being interested in people's beliefs and attitudes, and working with other people, cooperating with people, all those things will change how your life path goes. I used the skills I learned in scouting for my work. I got jobs I would never have had if it wasn't for the things I learned as a scout. It's really that simple, right? So make the most of it, enjoy what you're doing, and remember the things you learn. And don't make scouts different from your life. Your life should be driven by the values you hold. And so for me, the values I learned in scouting and the things I learned in scouting, I've used in every part of my life. And so it's enabled me to do some astonishing things, which I never thought I'd do, but just because I learned some stuff in scouts. So make the most of it. The other thing I'll tell you is, believe it or not, you won't be young forever. It's a hard thing to hear, because behind every one of you lot is another bunch of younger people, and they think you're old already. It's a hard life, isn't it? So enjoy whilst you've got a chance of being younger, but always enjoy the moment you're in. Always enjoy the things you can do and the friends you're with and the stuff you can do in the moment you're in it. Don't keep looking back ruefully or hoping for the future. Just do what you're doing and enjoy it in the moment. So that'll be my broad view. None of the scouts will take it to heart because it's just another old person talking to them. But it's worth thinking about that.
Oh, no, I think we'll keep that one and we'll drill it into them and make sure they enjoy every moment that they as it comes along. Certainly, that's a wonderful piece of advice. Thanks, Tim.
Well, I suppose we'll open it back up to the scouts. Does anybody have any questions or any points that they might like to discuss, just based on what we just said? Felix, you look like you've got something to say.
Nope, I can't think of anything.
Felix can't think of anything to say. That's astonishing, isn't it? I'm just going to do something for Alina here. What have we got? There you go. What do you think, Alina, to my background?
I think that's really cool.
The BBC have got them all. You can download a load of high-resolution images that you can use for backgrounds from all sorts of things. And they've got things that you will not remember that's too long ago. But this is one of the old ones from from Doctor Who. And then I can tell you what I'll do whilst I'm just here. I'll show you one more picture. This is the design for my new kitchen that I want to get sorted out. See what you think to that. What do you reckon to that?
That's, I think it works.
I think it. That's what I'm going to get done for my kitchen. It's not quite that shape, but I found this company. I'm thinking this is the thing to have. So just so you know, that's the sort of nonsense that I'm looking for my kitchen.
I'm just wondering, where did Sharon go?
Yeah, I think it was possibly an internet connection issue. She just suddenly dropped off.
She zapped off quite a while ago.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And you didn't notice, Finn?
No, notice it all now.
Even I noticed that. That's only because when it went from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, from 9 to 8, the shape changed on my screen and I saw it disappear off. And Finn didn't even notice. What do we think to that? Emily, did you notice?
No. Well, I knew that she had gone, but I didn't see when she dropped.
No, you didn't notice. Mike, you could at least have lied and pretended you did. Felix, did you notice? No? Alina?
Yeah, I noticed.
Very good, Alina. And Susanna?
Yeah, I noticed.
Well, see, there you go. At least there's some of the scouts who care. We all know where you stand now, don't we?
Cool. So I think we've been talking for about 50 minutes. So I think if we sort of wrap things up. So yeah, really thank you for being on. And I think that was absolutely fantastic. I'm not sure if anybody else has got any final words they want to say.
It's been lovely to meet you all, actually, and to hear about what you're up to. And I wish you all the very, very best for the future. Keep on going, do some more online stuff, and we will eventually get back to some face-to-face stuff. It'll happen. We just got to hold fast and allow things to take their course and be patient. The one thing you can do, though, Scouts, is you're of the age where you could have a hissy fit and people will go, oh, well, that's okay. If the leaders have a hissy fit, people go, oh, for goodness sake, sort yourselves out. So enjoy that whilst you can. Have a few hissy fits just for fun. See what happens.
I think that depends on the environment and where you are at the time.
Yes, possibly so. Brilliant. Well, it's been lovely to meet you all. Hopefully we'll bump each other at some point in the future. Who knows?
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you for coming on, Tim. And all the best for the future.
Yeah, and to you as well. Lovely to see you all. I'm going to leave you to finish up. Cheers, all right. Nice to see you.
Take care, Tim. Thank you very much. The end of that podcast. I think all that's left to say is what a fantastic guest we've had, and as always, carry on scouting. Scouts Doing Scouty Stuff is a podcast by Scouts, for Scouts, and the wider scouting community. You can follow us on Twitter at FirstPodScouts, and it's exactly the same on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and carry on scouting.